This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You know, the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, you're turning it off thinking, okay, well, Pitt has this in the bag. They're up like 20 in the second half. Meanwhile, like, we're all here and like every Pitt fan is like, oh man, I don't know. I don't know if they can put this away. Meanwhile, Iowa State was shooting like 12% from the field.
Correct.
Yeah, Chris and I were sitting in the studio watching that game like...
incredulous.
Is Iowa State ever going to make a basket?
It was the worst offensive performance I've ever seen, actually.
And then I guaranteed Pitt would beat Xavier. They lost and everybody blamed me for it.
What about the sit the F down game?
Oh, baby.
Topical, my friends.
How about his last start where they put all the Batman signs up?
Another good one.
Pirates have actually had some really cool moments. I know it doesn't seem like it because most years they're bad. But during that three-year run, there were some high times.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And that's why it's so frustrating with where they're at now, because you feel like they could get back to that potentially. How about Mackey on the showdown Sunday? You know, all of these articles and things he's written about how the Pirates have dropped the ball and not done enough, and then he picked them to win 85 games.
Oh, come on. He did?
Yes.
I think it's been a really disappointing offseason. Anyway, 85 and 77?
Man, if they made a few more moves, what would he say? They're going to challenge the friggin' 2001 Mariners?
120 and 42.
God. Over 1927 Yankees.
The reverse miracle Mets?
Here come the Pirates in 2025. All right, we are so excited to welcome in our next guest on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. He is a Pittsburgh Pirates legend. He's one of the all-time favorites among listeners to this station, and we are thrilled to have him right now. We're talking about the great A.J. Burnett back here in Pittsburgh. A.J., Andrew Filippone, and Chris Muller, what have you been up to these days?
What's up? I'm just out here, Florida, trying to play golf, trying to figure out a hobby in retirement life.
Now, how is the golf going? I am a big golf fan. You sound like a guy who's not quite sure about golf yet.
Yeah, I'm just I love and hate like everybody else. You know how it is. I never played a lot in my career because I always wanted to bass fish instead, but all I do now is golf, so I'm starting to fall in love with it.
I was going to say, which pitcher that you pitched with played the most golf on their off days?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Oh, that is a good question. Oh, probably, I'd say early on, probably like Dempster, Pavano early on. Like later in my career, they stopped taking clubs and carrying them, and I did. But like early in my Marlin days, the guys went out a lot. So I'd say probably Dempster, Pavano would probably my go-to. I haven't played with a lot of guys in the last 10 years or so of my career, so it had to be early on.
Have you gotten together with any ex-Pirates in retirement and played golf with them, AJ?
The real deal, Neil Walker.
How'd he do?
What do you mean? He's good at everything he does.
True.
He's good at everything. No, he's great. I love playing with Neil. He came when they came into town to play the Orioles, we went and played BCC and had a great time. But he's got a great swing. I mean, it's weird because it's a power swing from the right side, and that was not what he had. He was a power swing from the left side, so it was really weird. But, well, yeah, great golfer. I love spending time with him.
AJ, Pirates spring training just got underway. Paul Skeens was supposed to make his first start yesterday, but it got rained out because of bad weather. I'm just curious. You were such a good pitcher for a long time. How did you view spring training and your first couple starts of each spring training?
It changed as my career, because earlier, you know, in my career, we had to come in the spring training. You got ready. That toward the end of my career, you came in spring training and you had to be ready. So it was a little in between the both, but always I took, you know, complete all season. I was off until right around first of the year, and I started throwing. And then first couple starts, you can't look too much into it. You're trying to get the feel, being back on the mound, competition, heart rate. You know, but the main thing is you're competing again, so everything's amped up. It takes a couple to get back in the rhythm of things. No matter how good you've been throwing in all season or your bullpens, it's a different game out with the crowd and, you know, at 1 o'clock and not, you know, at 8:30 bullpen.
Well, this might be a very dumb question. When you said, like, in the beginning of your career early on, it was you get ready during spring. At the end of your career, you had to be ready. I would have thought that that would have been flipped. Like, when you're young and trying to prove yourself, it's I've got to be ready right from the jump, and that when you get further into your career, you'd get yourself ready. So why was it like that for you?
I think that was how the game was. The game was like that when I was coming up in 99. Like, you had – it wasn't necessarily you springing to get ready. You use your first couple starts to get ready. But as a young guy, you are correct. I was trying to make a team, so I was really not, now that you mentioned it. Way to point out my mistake there. I mean, that's a good one. But, no, honestly, it makes sense because, you know, now that you said it, I was competing for a spot. But then again, it was the Marlins. We had a young team.
Right.
We weren't really competing. They kind of knew who we were, so you kind of – I don't know. I'm in between both of that, so I see what you're saying. So I think you're right. Don't disregard everything I just said.
AJ, do you miss it?
You better come in ready.
do you miss it, AJ? Do you miss, like, even the drudgery of, like, getting ready for a season and building up your arm strength and getting ready to compete in a season?
I miss everything but the suitcase, my man. Everything. It's just, you know, it's one of those things you did for your whole life, and you still want to do it. Like, I watch these guys. I see their Instagram feeds. I keep up with them on, you know, SportsCenter and ESPN and the games I can get. And I wish I could still do it, believe me. I mean, I probably could, but don't tell nobody. But I really wish I could, because it's, you know, it's special. It's a gift, and it's memories that last forever. Friendships that last forever.
So this is another kind of one that just popped into my head while you were saying that. You were a guy who missed a lot of bats, and you had a lot of ways to make guys swing and miss. And I feel like even since your career ended, which is now, it's insane to say this out loud, a decade ago, the game has shifted even more to, like, guys either swinging for the fences or they don't care about strikeouts. I feel like in modern, like, 2025 baseball, you could feast. These guys would be chasing everything.
I agree with
that. Knuckle curves, all that stuff.
Why don't you agree with it?
No, he does agree with it.
I said I absolutely agree with it, AJ.
Oh, you absolutely agree. Yes. Yeah. You know, I do too. It's hit it in seats or nothing, it seems like. There's no in between. I would love it. I would love just to compete again. It doesn't matter about all that. I probably would just go about the same way as I always did, try to get hit and throw my hook as hard as I can and see him just chase it. you know, that's what I did for 17 years and until I got tired and older and I had to come up with that changeup. It was better and I should have used it. But, I mean, it's a different, like you said, it's a different game now. It's all power. It's all power. It's launch. It's, I mean, maybe I just throw curveballs out the gate.
Pitch backwards.
Right.
AJ Burnett's our guest. You said you still try to keep up on social media and you watch the games you can. Your thoughts on Paul Skeens and what you watched him do in his rookie year, AJ?
I got to see him play live with my own eyes. I got to watch him pitch. He's just a special talent, man. He's one of those kids that come around every so often. He's going to be around. He's going to stick. I mean, it's just impressive to see it coming out of college and doing what he can do. Just, like I said, I just want to see him in person one time throw.
So that won't be hard to arrange, by the way. We know people, AJ. We'll put you right behind home plate if you're cool with that.
Oh, well, yeah, that'll work, too. Or the dugout. You guys know anybody? Get me in the dugout again?
No, I'm not on as good of terms with the guy that's in the dugout yeah. right now. It would be easier for me to get you in one of the front rows, but that's okay.
I'll take behind home, man. I'm in. He's definitely special and definitely, you know, he's fun to watch. Like, I love watching all of it.
How rare is it? So he's, you know, barely into his 20s. I mean, the guy's only, you know, a couple of years or a year removed from being able to buy a beer legally. And we already heard stories at him as a rookie, AJ, like knowing his stuff was good, that the fastball slider was really, really good, and yet feeling like already that he needed to come up with, like, after 20 innings of minor league ball or whatever, that he needed to come up with another pitch, basically, because he just didn't like the way a couple of guys had, like, squared him up once in a while on his fastball. How rare is it for a dude that's that young to be that cerebral about what they're doing already, and he hasn't even really pitched in the major leagues at that point?
It's very interesting. Completely opposite of AJ Burnett as a young kid. If somebody squared me up or fouled it off, I'm going to throw it harder. I am. That's just what I did. You know, I was a two-pitch guy for the longest time, so if it came to that, I had so many battles with Andrew Jones that he would just gangster hack one and foul straight back. I'm like, oh, yeah? Okay, Andrew. And then 500 feet later, you know. But you learn from that stuff. And to see a young kid pick up on that and recognize that, I think it shows you what he's capable of and what his career is capable of. If he keeps evolving like that, I mean, he's at a young age. Imagine what he comes to in his 8th, 10th year. You know what I mean? It's special to see a kid think like that and getting squared up, because a lot of young kids that throw, especially as hard as he throws, I would just try to throw it harder. That was me.
So I'm going to play for you what he said about the pitch he worked on in the offseason, AJ. You'll hear him in his own words. And then there's a really good follow-up question from the reporter. So here it is.
The sinker, honestly. Getting it in zone more. It was, you know, a really good pitch last year. Limited damage. Got a lot of swing and miss, but wasn't in zone as much as I wanted it to. Basically just getting it in zone and, you know, executing it more consistently at a higher level.
And here's the follow-up to that.
When you're talking about adding things to your arsenal, but you've already had things that were really good, where do you find the balance of not trying to tweak or do too much that'll pull you away from what you're already good at?
Yeah. I mean, that's always the battle. I think I have good feel for my stuff and feel for the game, but to see how hitters are reacting to my stuff, to my four-seam, my sinker, my changeup, slider, all that, and then how adding something or taking something away would make those pitches better, basically. It's not a one-and-done thing where you add something and then that's it, and then, you know, you just have another weapon, because you're going to add something, it's going to add to or take away from everything else. And so that was something that we were focusing on really hard throughout the offseason, and now it's just a matter of seeing how hitters react to everything.
All right, great pitcher to great pitcher. What's your reaction to that, AJ?
It makes me want to pitch again. There's no way he's 20. I don't buy it. There's no way that's a 20-year-old kid talking. No, it's just impressive. It shows you that he pays attention. He knows his craft. He knows the game at a young age. And he's not as scared to the ball because he has belief and 100% trust in all his other stuff, knowing that if he takes the time to work at something new, it's not going to affect what's already there. And that's confidence. I mean, like I said, I got to watch this kid throw in person, especially after hearing that. I got to meet him.
So he's unbelievably polished. It's just like wild that he's as young as he is.
Yeah.
It is crazy. Yeah. There's another guy on that staff with an almost equally pyrotechnic arm. He's not built like you as far as being tall.
Oh, his personality is like, just like
personality
yours,
on the mound. He's swaggering around with a shirt or, you know, a button or two unbuttoned.
Well, it has to be Jared.
Yep, that was the guy I could not wait to ask you about.
He's an animal. He's an
shorter
animal.
AJ Burnett. That's him.
I've seen him throw. I want to see him in person. I have not seen him in person, but I have, you know, seen him on the highlights and sort of stuff. But yeah, I mean, just attack mode out the gate. I love it.
So like, okay, you had such a long and great career. If you had 5 minutes to give a guy that frankly, I think just the stuff absolutely reminds me of you, what would be your advice to a young pitcher like that to take that next step early in his career?
That's a very good question. I have to watch him a little bit more to narrow that down to a T, but, man, keep attacking the way he's attacking. When you lose that swag, when you lose that inner confidence, that it doesn't matter what happens, he seems to keep it throughout the game. You know what I mean? Like, it looks like he's there to punch tickets, which I love, because that's what I did. I tried to punch tickets. Two things going on. He's trying to hit a home run. I'm trying to strike you out. Everything else is in between. But it seems like he knows that. It doesn't affect him if something happens early in the game. He keeps that swag. What I say, so I would just tell him, don't ever change who you are, kid. Just keep attacking forever, because it's working.
AJ, Pittsburgh still have a special place in your heart?
Number one. Always a little bit. You guys call me great and legend in 30 seconds.
Yes, exactly. Because
why wouldn't I be?
That's right. Because your name comes up and people still have stories of where they were when you told Hanley to sit the F down and the Batman signals
and
stuff.
That means more than anything. I won a World Series with one of the greatest teams I've ever played on in New York. Not the greatest guy, but the song about that team and that city and the time of my career has never changed. That's home, man. I'll always appreciate everything and everyone in that city.
Do you like the Yankees relaxing their facial hair policy, AJ?
I knew it. No, keep it. It's not fair. I wanted it. I wanted a beard and goatee.
What would you have done?
Why is it fair?
If it would have been relaxed in your playing career, because they have verbiage here, like wording that's you could drive a truck through. It's so vague. It's like well-kept beard. I could imagine you pushing the boundaries, like having like something like the drummer from Anthrax or whatever, having that chin, hair going all the way down, keep it real neat and say, hey, it's neatly groomed. Why isn't that good?
Yeah, so is it, I guess it's strictly beards, like no goatees or anything. I guess it's just beards, I guess, from what I've read. No, I probably wouldn't push the limits. I didn't do that until I got to Pittsburgh. I'm kidding. But
we love that's why people loved you here because you did push.
I'm telling you, man, I did. That squad when I showed up to spring training and that city brought something out of me that was quiet for a long time and I'd never forget it. But
AJ, Pat McAfee went on his show and said you're one of his 10 favorite athletes of all time because he said he ran into you one night here, and he's like, that's my kind of guy right there, AJ Burnett. How about that?
Yeah, I don't think he did, though. I think he came back and said it wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
Because I never ran into him, and I never went out before start, and I looked up that date.
I didn't know that. Okay.
But Pat could have been enough sheets to the wind where he thought he was looking at AJ Burnett, but he wasn't.
I might have. I don't know. He seems fun. I watch him every once in a while. I'm starting to watch more football now too in retirement. So he's one of my favorite shows. So
gotcha.
He's got a good gig going on, but I don't think I did, man. I really don't.
Any chance we see you get into coaching soon?
You know what? I'm not opposed to it. My agent and I have reached out a few times. See if we can correlate something as far as getting in there here and there to see some guys. So we'll see what comes of that. But right now I'm enjoying it. Give me a couple of years and we'll see what happens.
Cool, man.
But AJ, definitely wouldn't mind, watching these dudes throw, man. Like, good Lord, please.
AJ, if you ever want to try to get find a fourth, I'll be happy to invite myself in to a golf match with you and Walker. Me and you will team up. I'll be talking crap about grade school athletics with him because we were running in the same Catholic school circles.
Yeah, Chris,
we'll
get you guys on Oakmont, AJ.
We'll win the match, AJ.
He'll get you on Oakmont if you want to play there.
I'm in. I'm just starting to figure it out, so once that happens, it's over.
AJ, last one. We just had a listener text in and say, let's test AJ's memory.
Oh, boy.
Does he know
the
hitter that you struck out the most in your major league career?
Oof. Jimmy Rollins or Abreu?
Abreu!
Holy
let's go!
Crap.
Did I get it?
Yes!
Not an easy guy to strike out either.
20 times you punched him out. Look at that, man. Yep.
That's awesome.
I knew it was one of the two. I knew it.
Hey, AJ, always great to catch up with you, man. You're still beloved here, and we'll definitely get you back in Pittsburgh for a skiing start, okay?
Dude, absolutely. You guys ever need me holler, I'd love to hop on again and chat.
There you go.
I miss it, man. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Great talking to you,
AJ Burnett.
He's awesome.
I didn't know about the McAfee thing.
Being an urban
legend.
Yeah,
I didn't know he debunked that.
He knew exactly. You asked it in a very specific way, and he knew exactly where it was headed.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, you made up a pretty fair point that maybe Pat was a little bit impaired. And
I mean, some of the stories I've
heard
about
Pat. He probably just saw, tall, athletic, fairly good-looking guy, and he's like, oh, that's the guy I was drinking with.
Yeah, guy has a huge lipper, and he's like, it must have been Burnett.
You know what I wanted to ask him, but I didn't have the balls to there, because it was also the start of the interview, and I didn't want to get it off to a rocky start. So tell me if this is right. So Burnett was on those early Marlins teams.
Yeah.
That one that won the World Series in 03.
Yep.
So.
Although he didn't pitch much in 03.
No.
I think he got hurt.
So he mentioned Pavano.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't mention Brad Penny.
Mm-hmm.
I think those guys both dated Alyssa Milano.
Pavano and Penny?
Yes.
I think you're right.
That had to be a little awkward, no?
who had the better fastball.
Like, that would be like if Livy Dunn broke up with Skeens and dated Mitch Keller or something like that.
So here's, I believe, yeah, Carl Pavano. What baseball players did Alyssa Milano date?
She also dated former Penguin Robbie Brown when she was still on Who Meets the Boss.
So Brad Penny is connected to Alyssa Milano. She also dated Barry Zito in there.
She had a type.
Threw the big hook. 12-6.
Carl Pavano and Brad Penny.
Man, Pavano's an all-time Yankee contract that went bad, is it not?
Didn't he
get hurt constantly?
Yes, I like it when the Yankees do more stuff like that and just spend all the money but light it on fire with bad contracts.
You know what? I believe AJ too when he says it like he said it about Pittsburgh. I like it when a place embraces a guy the way Pittsburgh did to AJ, and it clearly like matters to the guy beyond like paying it lip service. You can tell it at, he's not like BSing when he says like that's number one for me, because he involves the fact, or he includes the fact, that he's won World Series before. But, like, it was just different.
He will probably always be a top five favorite Pirate for me, and the guy played here for 3 years.
He was not
an attitude adjustment he brought.
He was not the best pitcher on those teams. I thought Liriano was unhittable for most of 2013, then Cole came up. But, like, if any team ever actually needed somebody who carried themselves like the baddest MF-er in the room, it was them. For being so beaten down for so many years, you couldn't have drawn up like a more, this guy needed this place and they needed him.
And can I tell you something that I just don't buy into? And I'm not saying this to be, you know, glass, totally empty Pirates fan. This whole idea where Tommy Pham is going to bring that to the Pirates this year is just utterly ridiculous. Like, oh, here's a guy that's used to not backing down, and, you know, he's going to get this team to buy in. He played for the effing White Sox last year. They had that personality in their clubhouse, and they were the worst team, on pace to be the worst team in baseball history. I don't think Tommy Pham is going to waltz in here, and these guys are going to be like, you know what? Because of this dude, we're not going to take crap anymore. I don't see him having that kind of impact on this team whatsoever.
I don't remember what Burnett's reputation amongst other players was, but I guess my thing with Pham is Burnett was intense and needed a change of scenery. I've never gotten the sense when I've read about or heard about Tommy Pham that like other guys really like being around
Pham.
Tommy Pham,
by the way, said of the Mets before he got traded to the Diamondbacks, those guys in that clubhouse have no clue how to win. I've never been around a team that lollygags and doesn't take their jobs as seriously as that team does. And then the next year, they were two games away from going to the World Series. So maybe he should pipe down when it comes to opinions like that.
One more thing, Pony. I know you were trying to, I think, flex on my behalf. I don't think I have to worry about AJ being able to take me up on my offer, but I don't think I could get him on Oakmont just lickety-split.
You don't think he's ready?
Oh, no. I would have to call in the largest favor of my life, I think, to make that happen just overnight. Maybe I would have to lead with, hey, Neil Walker and AJ Burnett would love to play.
Someone also texted me and said that Pham was, like, diagnosed as, like, legally blind.
What?
Yeah. That he has some kind of like optic nerve or optical issue where like technically he's blind. And he's been a baseball player for
2018. Tommy Pham's vision saving surgery sparks, quote, miracle.
Yeah.
Miracle superstar breakout. Oh, you know, I have the condition he has. It's not gonna cause me blindness. It's why I can't get laser surgery. It's called keratoconus. I have that in this eye.
I thought you had Raynaud syndrome.
I do. That's in my fingertips. No, I cannot get laser eye surgery. Somebody tried to set it up years ago at the station through a nice company around these parts. They looked at my eyes and said, we can't do it.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Loving the new music. So we got the music for this sorted out. It's everything else that's a complete disaster right now. Donnie's segment is called the Football Debrief. Comes your way at 4:30 every day. Now is the time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. Omar Khan. We go from A.J. Burnett to Omar Khan, the GM of the Steelers. You're going to hear his comments for the first time, played in their entirety. The only time that's happened in Pittsburgh today with us in about 10 minutes. State of the Steelers with the Steelers GM. But first, Donnie Chedricks. Big football topic.
The debrief, February 25, 2025. This a report from Cecil Lammy. Can't say I am familiar with his work.
Fantastic, Cecil Lammy.
Like Lammy? Like, hey, Dad, where's my Lammy, my stuffed lamb?
L-A-M-M-E-Y. Did you go Lammy there?
Yeah.
Bleacher Report,
you
I do believe?
You can't go LeMay.
Who's he with?
He covers the Broncos, denversports.com.
Okay, Cecil Lammy.
So he says that Rob Gronkowski is considering a return to the NFL.
This guy kind of looks like Russell Brand, like a Tamu version of Russell Brand.
What a friggin' scoop if this guy is right, because Gronkowski, one of the biggest stars in all of sports, and I don't believe anyone else has corroborated this report and said it's on the money. So he's on a Gronkowski island right now.
Beyond just the love of the game and wanting to play, something we heard A.J. Burnett say multiple times during that chat, how much he would love to still play, how much he misses it. Gronk is one of those guys that has little to nothing to prove.
To gain or prove.
He has won multiple Super Bowls. He is already considered, at worst, if you don't have him as the best tight end ever, top three?
Top I don't know very who people, worst. I don't know who people, unless like old heads say Mike Ditka or somebody like that. I think most people, like, there's general agreement that he's the best tight end ever to play.
He already retired once in 2019. He came back and still played good football in 20 and 21. This would be a near 5-year gap of Rob Gronkowski.
The funny thing
and I see Pony's grin because I grokked the
Gronk
Steelers
Gronk.
Picture.
Yeah. Well, even though you grokked it, even though the literal story is that he would rather play just with Bo Nix for some reason because it's a guy in Denver breaking it. But you know what's sad about all this? I agree with the entire premise you just laid out. He has nothing to prove, all that stuff. I think if he came back in proper shape, I think he would be good. Like, I do. I think he would be still able to get it done at age 35.
You know, Artie Smith loves those tight ends.
Did you say he's younger than Travis Kelce? And I just missed that because I did not mention that, but he is
he is only 30.
He'll be 36 for next season, though.
Donnie.
Oh, wait. I think
he's turning 36 in May. May 14th, he turns 36.
Donnie mocking Gronkowski in a Steelers uniform where the NFL logo looks like it doesn't even correctly spell NFL.
Steelers, the word Steelers on the hypocycloid on the patch doesn't even look like a word.
And it looks like
blurs.
He's wearing the number 38.
Also, the numbers on the jersey look atrocious. They don't look anything like the Steelers numbers. They work so that Gronk works so hard to get the face down pat. That you'll notice it's like taking a camera, like a shot in portrait mode on your iPhone. Everything else in the background is blurred out because they can't possibly use any computing power on that. He at least looks like a football player because he is one in that. So, I mean, like, it's not like Pony saying, can you make, you know, Jesse the Body Ventura circa now?
Why made
Baron Trump a member of the Washington Wizards?
Yeah, that's Donnie's domain where he makes Chris Farley the Steelers head coach.
Wasn't he made up to be as like skinny as the white Manute Bowl on that Washington Wizards thing?
The kid could have been the real king of D.C.
They didn't add much bulk there on him.
I think it's funny that Donnie also tweets out when Archie from Archie's Wings just tags Donnie randomly specials and promos
he has
Archie at
the
bar.
I'll give Archie the retweet. I love Archie.
I'm not saying you don't, and I'm saying it's fine. I just wonder what's in Archie's head where he thinks to himself, I'm going to send out a picture of wings, and of all the people in the world, I'm going to tag Donnie in this one.
I have a suspicion that this is an Archie.
Because you are the wing guy. I mean,
well, this is an Archie strategy, though. So it was Archie's latest tweet, and it tags Donnie. Last night, Archie's Southside, Tasty Tuesday, 80 Cent Wings, Pit Hoops at 7, Jay Hillgrove, WTOVs, tagging Jack.
See, I saw that thinking that maybe Hillgrove was going to be there, like a watch party with him.
Oh, no, he will tag just random
Ben's
people.
That's just at the Loyal Sons, which is like a big Pit fan account that for some reason I accidentally had blocked.
Well, probably the blue checkmark thing.
Yeah, it is. I know it is. I feel bad. The Loyal Sons probably think I hate them. I'm completely indifferent to the Loyal Sons. I like this one. I still like that he's been doing the Guillermo Diaz Graham promotion. Free if number 25 gets 15, everybody at Archie's gets free wings for the next Pit game. He's just begging Guillermo Diaz Graham to have a breakout.
Come watch the Pit game here and try the stone cold Zach Austin wings. There's legitimately Zach Austin inspired wings.
I haven't tried
many
those.
There.
They have Duquesne. They have a Duquesne sauce now, which I'm very fond
Saturday,
of.
Saturday, what kind of sauce is it? Like what's
It's like a Cajun dry rub, and it's honey mustard.
Saturday, WVU hoops party at Voice Morgantown. No idea who that is.
What about at Adam Crowley?
I haven't seen one of those yet. He's got so many Guillermo Diaz Graham ones in here. He's got like one of him randomly dunking. I don't know why. It just absolutely kills me. It does. By the way, somebody said it was suggested Duquesne's run to the NCAA tournament be a great moment that happened while the station was on the air. We had that discussion earlier, like 15 greatest moments in the of 15 years of the fan being
So
around.
What would be the moment? Them winning the A-10 tournament or them beating BYU?
I would think the A-10 tournament just to punch the ticket.
In that same breath, what about Bobby Moe in Kentucky?
Ooh, that's one that's near and dear
to my
heart.
That would have been early on, and that was a Malzi special.
Turning back like it's the final picture of The Shining to look at half.
Man, did they get robbed when they lost to Villanova in 2010 in the first round
Mike
of that 2-15 game? Yep.
Stormed off
the court.
That was a miscarriage of officiating justice, too. That was definitely like, what the hell's going on here? I'm mesmerized by Archie's feed right now. I really am. How has he not tagged Pony in one of these randomly? just for fun?
I don't know. I think I have a pretty solid relationship with Archie. Every time we see him at the casino, he might be at the event tomorrow night. He's a huge fan of the station.
Here's a tag of Pony. It just says, please put number 6, number 39, and number 26 on the tree at the Pony Express.
I don't know what that means.
I assume it's Patrick Queen, Minka, and
what tree?
I don't know. I mean, that's why it's confusing. How do you feel about the music right now?
I just keep picture. I'm thinking about Rob Gronkowski with the Steelers and Arthur Smith salivating over it because he just wants an entire team made up of tight ends. Which, by the way, Omar Khan today on the job Arthur Smith has done as offensive coordinator.
Arthur did a really good job. I like Arthur a lot, and we work well together. We have to resolve the quarterback situation, and you know, once we get that resolved, we'll do our best to help surround that person with the right pieces to make Arthur's job a lot easier.
That sounds like a canned response that, I don't know, like if Craig had to do a press conference.
We're committed to making great content here at 93.7 The Fan. I love content.
Place name here. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
He's a hard worker.
Joel Nelson.
Admission there that he felt like Arthur Smith had to make do without very good quarterback play. But then we've heard Omar Khan talk about wanting to bring those quarterbacks back.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.